answer. You know this, so do I. It's never the answer. Oh no. Galactic war is never the answer. You declare war because you couldn't romance. Oh no.
Howdy roundabout all you shaggy goose egg little boys. Welcome to another episode of Al Pacino's Prison Scene. And today, we've got a pretty special episode. I don't know if you guys can tell or not, but there's another body here at the table.
There is.
There's a little guy. And it's Chris.
It's funny because you thought we were going to mention the other guy.
And we're not going to mention his name at all.
Ever.
So.
It's Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
Jeb Bush 2020.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even run in 2020, I don't think.
No, it was 16.
I don't know.
It was 16. It was a long time ago, yeah.
But this is our boy, Braden Jordy, right here.
He's plugging
from the Clip Play TV.
Go watch
link
that.
In the description. Go check it out. He said, here's what, here's why I bought a MacBook Pro in 2019.
Hey, that was really good.
I know, that's because I am you. And that's what this movie that we're talking about today is. But we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Before we do, also, are Brady Jordan and Real Brady Jordan?
Yeah, give me a follow. So it's ClipPlay TV, ClipPlay TV is my brand channel on YouTube. I have personal social media accounts where I do a lot of video and photo business stuff. That's R. Brady Jordan, RBRADYJORDAN. Can you tell I have to elevator pitch myself a lot?
I was about to say that. I was going to say, it seems like you've done this a couple times.
Which is crazy because there aren't that many elevators here in Florence.
There aren't, no.
There's like...
I can count too. But usually there's like only three stories.
Yeah.
So your elevator pitch has to be quick.
No, it has to be quick and it has to be rapid. I get on TikTok live every other night too and I talk at the pace of like 1,000 words per minute. So usually that attracts a lot of viewers. I've got like 50K on TikTok, which is fun. But it's extremely unnecessary and just completely random. So.
Yeah.
I don't have TikTok.
Yeah, and look at you now.
But yeah.
Who else is supposed to show up today?
Today? Oh, no. You know.
Yeah.
Now, before we really get into it, you know, I think we need to have a heart-to-heart here, guys. I feel like no matter what we do, no matter how many times we say it, you do not do it. And you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to make that you. Show the camera that. Show the camera.
Mm-hmm.
The thing. Yeah. You see that?
Yeah. That's going to be you.
That's going to be you.
If,
unless you do it.
And you know what the it is? Not sex.
Necessarily.
Well, it's not. We're not referring to that right now, but if you did, we wouldn't be mad.
You know. You know.
A wise man once said, wrap it before you tap it. Subscribe. That is not that.
Subscribe it before you tap it.
Yes.
Tap it right. To subscribe it, which would.
Wrap your finger before you click the subscribe button.
Sex.
But not. And speaking of, there's not any of that in this movie, which is...
crazy, because Ryan Reynolds is in it.
I know.
What movie?
Green Lantern.
X-Men Origins.
Yeah. X-Men Origins Wolverine, baby.
It's my favorite iteration of Deadpool they've ever done on screen.
Oh, 100%.
No mouth, can't speak, nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're doing Green Lantern today, boys. And, you know, funnily enough, it was a recommendation. I don't remember who it was by, because I got rid of that message, but they recommended it. Oh! It was you.
Oh, well, that's...
why he's here.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm here because I sat, about 3 months ago, I sat in front of my TV laughing at it for about 2 hours straight.
And you know what else is funny, is that Sam recommended Rolling Green Hills, or whatever that soccer movie's called, and he wasn't on that episode.
That is... not
that's what? Inauthentic.
Rolling Green Hills.
Yeah.
Green Street
mean,
Hooligans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so confused. I was like, wait, did we do that? Yeah. It's been
you,
a crazy
you got one of the words,
it's been a crazy
right?
semester,
Green.
Man.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
got all our projects shot by now.
Well
yeah.
the ones that were dated to be released or to be scheduled to be
We've been having strokes left and right. It's crazy.
The ones who have been scheduled have been done.
Yeah.
Because we don't know when we're going to shoot.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this, shall we?
Let's go for it.
Let's get
into this
photosynthesis.
Recap it.
Oh, also, Chris gets really mad if you interrupt him. See, he's already...
In the beginning, Malcolm Wheeler Nicholson created the DC Universe. And Martin Nodell said, "Let there be light." And it was green. Green Lantern.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you. It was.
Don't interrupt him, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle, nobody...
Green Lantern is the movie that was supposed to start off the DC Extended Universe, but it's something so bad that they just made it not canon and did away with it completely. Ryan Reynolds is Green Lantern, but we'll get to that in a second. Movie starts out with showing the creation of the Green Lantern Corps, which is, you know, the Guardians of the Universe. They're essentially galaxy police who guard
space
shit.
Cops.
They're space cops.
R.I.P.D.
They're space cops.
Don't
and they have big glowing green rings that lets them, you know, materialize weapons with their imagination and fight the bad shit.
With willpower, that's what powers it.
Yeah.
Well,
but
what's that in this movie?
There's another light. It's a yellow light, and it's a light about that encapsulates fear and shit. And
how you describe that.
And these three alien astronauts land on a moon, and they discover this green dude. This yellow dude who was a Green Lantern dude.
Did you tap that or was I in?
Okay. Sorry, I've totally lost my shit.
You have gotten. You were only in the beginning introduction.
And
to
I know.
To the
scared of
I know. Yeah. The yellow dude kills all the astronauts, and a Green Lantern guy is mortally wounded, and he flies over to Earth, and he sends his Green Lantern ring to find a human to take over his place. And then we cut to Ryan Reynolds, you know, making his way to work hastily. He works at this Air Force place. He's a pilot, and then, you know, da-da-da-da-da. He later finds the ring because it beckons him, and the mortally wounded Green Lantern guy is like, "Hey, you gotta be a Green Lantern." And he's like, "What the fuck's that?" And he was like, "I don't know, just say these words." And he makes the Green Lantern oath, and then the ring whisks him away to slam far, far away in a distant galaxy, where he meets all the other Green Lantern peoples, and he's like, and they're all like, "Hey, you're one of us now." And so they start his training, and he trains, and it's pretty cool. And but there's this one guy, Sinestro, who's kind of like, "Oh, you're not fit to be a Green Lantern," and so he just walks away. And now Hal Jordan is very sad. And
did you mention that his name is Hal Jordan?
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds' name is Hal Jordan. In this
no,
movie.
Ryan Reynolds is the Green Lantern.
Okay.
I mean, basically, Ryan Reynolds just plays Ryan Reynolds in every movie he's ever done it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like
so now we're near about midway through the movie. I'll let you take over for a little bit if you want.
Yeah. So I completely blanked out of this part of the movie.
See, I'm not the only one who does that.
He
shit.
He also didn't watch this movie.
Well, he has a love interest. I can't remember what her name was.
Blake Lively.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what... Yeah.
Isn't they married now?
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so that worked out. So one thing from this movie worked out.
Well,
as long as they don't get a divorce, in which case this whole movie will have been a failure. Legacy.
Well, we are recording this a bit early, so they have time to get divorced.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So,
much like Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember. You can take over this part. Like, what happens in the love?
Chris goes, "Ego, you got it, Brady." And goes, "Yeah, they're married. All right, you got it."
They're married in real life. So
yeah.
Back to you.
So Peter Sarsgaard is like a lonely little guy, and they bring him in to check out Abul Sur, whatever his name is.
The Green Lantern who was already possessed by the parallax, which is the yellow light.
Well,
no, he wasn't possessed. He was attacked.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's checking it out. He like he's digging up in there. It looks like the Fifth Element scene where Lilu comes back to life or whatever. And he sticks a little fingy in there and he gets zapped by a little guy. And then they're like, the public is going to outrage at this. And then they're like, the public's not going to know about this. And Amanda Waller's like, contrary to popular belief, this is the first thing we've ever seen. So he goes back to his house and he's like, and because that's because Parallax,
the villain is the guy with the ugly looking forehead.
Sorry, yeah. Dormammu.
Yeah.
Dormammu, I've come to Barco.
He gets big brain because of all the fear factor gets injected into his brain.
Yeah, he was on the Joe Rogan podcast. Yeah,
parallel Hal Jordan gets beat up by some guys, and then he's like, all right, I'm not done with you yet. And then he's like, but then a big fist comes out, and they go, wee!
Yeah.
And then they get beat up, and he's like, what?
And so the ring takes him to Oa, which is the homeworld of the Guardians, and they are like these peacekeeper race that have been around for a very, very long time. They're the ones who created the willpower ring and all that stuff. They did that science.
And they explain what Parallax is exactly. Apparently, one of their brothers was like, "Ah, fuck you guys. You know, I'm a face this fear factor shit myself." And but the fear factor shit, you know, got to him and made him super powerful and turned him into a, you know, planet eating celestial god. And
as it tends to do.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen Ego the Living Planet? It's basically the same.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Without copyright infringement and lawsuits, essentially.
Of course.
Yeah, we're gonna bleep that part out.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Hal Jordan. Hal Jordan is like, oh, okay, well, I gotta beat that guy. So he goes back to Earth.
There you go.
And Hammond, who now has big brain, real big brain, they fight, have a showdown.
No, hold on. The reason he goes back to Earth is because while he's training with the Green Lantern ring, Sinestro, who is like kind of the Green Lantern, like, you know, leader.
He's the guy who told him he wasn't worthy.
Yeah, he's like, you're not good enough for this. Go back, you dumbass human, you know, because he's like the first human Green Lantern. And so Hal goes back kind of defeated to Earth. All right.
Because he tries to fight the Parallax, but he fights Hammond. They have a showdown. He beats Hammond, and then Parallax shows up, and then Hal Jordan's like, I know the only way that I can get him out of here, and so he risks his own life by having him chase him over to the sun, and Hal Jordan essentially burns him in the sun because the sun's gravity is too powerful for him, and Hal Jordan is only able to not get sucked in the sun by the power
of two jets.
Of good old-fashioned American airplanes.
Yeah!
America! Bitch! Oh, yeah. Hell yeah! So anyway,
the military-industrial complex wins again.
We are stronger than the sun!
Hal Jordan, goes
North Korea. I will.
Dude.
Hey, North Korea? Kim Jong-un, we're looking at
you. Yeah, we're looking at you, buddy.
Hal Jordan goes back to the Green Lantern Corps. They celebrate him, and he is officially one of them. And Sinestro's like, all right, yeah, man, whatever. And then he goes back to his home planet, and he kisses his Goral. And they're happy, and then he flies back on to be Green Lantern in the next Green Lantern movie that never happens and becomes Deadpool. Mid-credits scene, Sinestro puts on a yellow ring.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the Yellow Lantern.
It's true.
The end.
So there's a couple things that happen in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, so Chris tried to make the second act, but I appreciate the brevity of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got the major points.
Basically, Blake Lively's dad is
Andy Dufresne.
Is
this
the
is
guy,
after he escaped from
he's
prison.
He's like one of the generals.
Who's
isn't he?
Is that or is he the guy who owns the company?
Yeah, he's the company owner, and then
because they look the same.
The villain Hector is because he's the daddy's boy. He's got his job as the senator and all that, and that's what he gets mad about in the movie.
Okay.
Is that like his father basically got him all these opportunities? He didn't get to build it his own way. And so he gets mad, blows his head up, and goes after Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a little confusing because the two, like, those guys look the same, but they're at a party, and Krang or whatever his name shows up. Hammond.
Yeah.
Shows up, and he's like, this is before he's got Big Head, and he basically blows up a helicopter, kinda, and then Hal disappears, comes back as Relander, and he catches the falling helicopter in like a hot rod that he's conjured.
Yeah,
he's conjured.
Everything is just bad, bad CGI.
Mm-hmm. And it like
even the suit.
And it like goes down. And it's like it's like a race car. And then it crashes, and he takes Blake Lively off, and they get married.
They make out on some kind of airplane tower at some point.
Yeah. There's also
kind of illegal. FAA, they're coming for him.
The FAA.
And then
don't fly a drone.
That's true.
Before Hal actually takes on Dormammu, he goes to Oa, and is like, "Hey guys, we can beat this if we try." And they're like, "No, we can't. No, we can't." And Sinestro is like, "No, you can't. Nobody's gonna help you." And so that's when he goes back, and that's when Sinestro is like, "We gotta find something else to do." So that's when they make
the yellow ring.
The yellow ring.
Oh.
But they never use it.
Yeah,
that's what ties it.
Yeah.
And like the council of like lantern people, it's like these big three aliens that don't really speak. And so it's a little weird. They're like giant versions of Patrick Stewart, except they don't say a single thing. It's like Charles Xavier. His adopted awkward alien children. They sit there and like they don't show it, but they're afraid of like what this power, the parallax, can do. And so they're literally just sitting there being useless for most of the movie.
Yeah, they're like the timekeepers.
No, the timekeepers are more useful than them.
Well, yeah. So boys and gals, what is this movie about?
What is this movie about?
Whispered into the wrong mic.
It's literally just Ryan Reynolds. It's what gave him his wife, probably, and bad CGI. That's about it.
That's
what it's about. Chris?
Yeah.
Strong will vanquishes fear, and airplanes help too.
Airplanes do help, Jake.
Kyle.
Jake.
Kyle.
Jake.
I can do this all day.
Wrong
I can do this
also,
all day.
Also, Amanda Waller
is
in this
movie. I know. Amanda Waller. Sorry.
That was. I did not expect to see that character in this movie.
Yeah, I've seen this a couple times.
I did not remember her.
And I just... Mm. It's not Viola Davis, so who cares?
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I think this movie is about... And I think Blake Lively's character says it pretty explicitly in this, which that's how you know it's an early, like, 2000s superhero movie, because they explicitly tell you the theme, like, right before the third act. It's about fear, you know? And it's like... It's not that you become less fearful. It's that you become more courageous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
boys.
Courage overcomes fear. And it's also if I can find the for Deadpool.
It is. But I agree with you 100%. And I don't think this movie is that subtle about it, like you said.
Right.
But I do agree that this is what this is about. However, it fails to elaborate on how you become courageous.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because one of the biggest criticisms of this film is that, and it's compared to Iron Man, because that was kind of, this movie was supposed to be DCEU's launching platform, the same way that Iron Man was.
Yeah.
But, sorry if you didn't hear me. but.
That's funny.
Hal Jordan does not go through any obstacles, really, to obtain the power of the ring. He literally he gets sucked up.
It just goes to him, yeah.
It's presented to him, and then he has to like live up to this great power.
Right.
So in that case, it really could have gone to anybody.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's not the case of Tony Stark built this in a cave with a box of scraps. Mm-hmm. Hal Jordan got a ring from a dying alien on the beach.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's about
Which is like, that's fair enough. Like, you can start a story out like that, but... just because you get that power, like I don't think he suffered enough to deserve it.
Well, if we take a look at Spider-Man 1, the Sam Raimi ones, you know, he's got this power and he doesn't know how to use it, and he also doesn't necessarily use it for good. There are a couple of things he does, but he also doesn't use it responsibly.
He uses it for revenge,
right?
At one point.
Oh, sorry. I feel like if they went the route like with Thor and Mjolnir. Or am I pronouncing it right?
It's pronounced Jonathan.
Okay.
Well, dude, yeah, hey, like, 10 bucks. You know what? 25 bucks if you get that one.
Like, the first Thor movie, you know, like, he's entitled to the hammer, and he's just born into that power, but because he becomes unworthy, he loses it, and he has to find worth in it.
Really, it's the case of the unworthy hero. I think that's the theme overall, but they didn't do it as well as they could have. In this one, especially, like, Spider-Man was a great comparison. I was going to say that the Sam Raimi movies reminded me a lot of this movie. It's the same era of cinema, and, like, hero cinema, because I know it's different. But just looking at it overall, like, they didn't give Hal Jordan enough of the unworthiness. He was too much Ryan Reynolds, in a way. Because, like, I mean, I think we can all agree, probably the best part about this movie is Ryan Reynolds. Mm. He is excellent in just about anything he does.
No, Taika Waititi.
Yeah,
Taika Waititi's pretty good.
Yeah. He is too.
I do like Killawong for like the 5 seconds he was in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, Ryan Reynolds is definitely the best. Is this another mic?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's wireless.
Well, it's definitely wireless. There's no wire.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Ryan Reynolds is definitely the best part about this movie. Especially the part, you know. But, like, that's the thing with it, too. He's too much Ryan Reynolds in it. And so, like, he doesn't have any, like, apparent struggles. He brings too much of his own, like, actor successful persona into it. And kind of because of that, like, there's never an opportunity for him to have any character development or proper growth. So with that, and also green? Why not purple? Why not blue? Why not, you know, magenta? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with what you just said. The only kind of struggle that the only struggle that we really see is when Sinestro's like, you're not good enough. But then immediately that is dashed away because Fish Guy is like, Aquaman is like, the ring is never wrong. But then there's not even any elaboration on that. There's not a what if we leave and you were wrong? There is no doubt that Ryan Reynolds has in this.
Well, and he has it, but it's almost immediately solved because as soon as he leaves Oa, he goes straight back to Earth and talks to Blake Lively's characters, and she's like, she tells him something to the effect of, what if you actually, like, cared about something for once and stuck to it? Which I like that line a lot because we do see that in the movie that, like, he doesn't, like, he's just doing things for his own, like,
personal gain.
And his own fun and enjoyment. But he's, like, he's not really sitting there to care about. Like, it's clear that, you know, he loves Blake Lively's character and that she loves him back. But because he won't be vulnerable with her or with in any aspect of his life, because he puts up this, like, wall, you know, that prevents him from truly being courageous because he's living in fear. And I think that's what the movie is trying to show us, but it doesn't show us it enough.
I mean, he drives a Dodge Charger at the beginning of the movie. Like, is there anything else that you need to know about his character?
Honestly,
no offense if you drive a Dodge Charger,
but
we all kind of
But I also have a Charger, so fuck you.
I don't have my phone on me, so... I think that a better emblem of that theme that you were talking about, the rest of Blake Lively, would have been more profound if it was through his nephew.
Oh, yeah.
Because we see him at the very beginning, and that seems to be the only thing that he kind of genuinely cares about, more so than Blake Lively. Is that his brother? Who is that?
I think that's his nephew. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that's his, like, sister. Yeah, and that's the weird thing, too. Like, I didn't even remember he had that part of the movie. And it's a prominent, like, part of the beginning.
Brought up.
Yeah, like, never ever.
Because I think that would have been... the stakes would have been innately higher, just because it is a child.
Right.
But I think that the relationship built out... Because it's not... Him and Blake Lively, it's not really romance.
Right, because I don't think... I honestly don't think they kiss in the entire movie.
Because she says that they have been friends for a really long time.
Hey, maybe they're just a good Church of Christ couple. Mm-hmm. 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they have COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why this movie's bad.
Yeah.
Basically.
Time
travel.
But yeah, because the romance isn't really there, but they're playing it off as... They're playing that as the love line. But it doesn't work because it's not really there. But I think they could have done essentially the same thing with the nephew. And I think that would have been much more impactful because that essentially exponentializes the idea of responsibility within the film.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really is ultimately...
Yeah, and it would have paired well with like his dad dying when he was a kid and him feeling like he needs to make sure that he's there for that kid. Because then you could have played the idea, it's like, I can't do this because if I go, then, you know, my nephew won't have me and I need to be there for him.
And that's the
thing. And that could show that he is ready for that responsibility. But then ultimately he comes to the conclusion, no, you know, I have to be selfless, you know. And maybe because I have this power, I need to be responsible for more people than just my nephew. Which I think is interesting. I think that could have worked. I never thought about that.
Yeah. I feel like if you just put this movie in Premiere Pro, you could honestly recut it.
Yeah.
To be better in that aspect. Like, this guy's the father figure to this kid. And, like, that's a huge prominent part of the beginning. And you literally just never hear from him again. It's so weird. Like, you could literally fix this probably in post with editing. I really feel like a lot of what happened with this movie happened in post. I mean, I've heard stories supposedly about, you know, big studios just rushing movies out, and we've seen stuff. Sonic, Lost Jedi. No offense, but like, there's aspects of. It's not that certain movies are bad per se. It's that certain movies just could have done a little bit better if they'd taken more time with them.
Yeah,
I mean, this was a huge thing with the Snyder Cut, which. Watch it in black and white. That's the best way. Justice is Gray, Ultimate Edition.
On ice. The musical.
The book.
In 4D. You can actually feel the aliens burning your skin.
Titties.
Yeah, you're Al Jordan. No, I agree.
Common Sense Media probably loves this movie. They probably have, like, a stellar rating on it. Because, like, there's just no intimacy whatsoever.
They're like IGN with games.
Mm-hmm.
Because IGN gives games good scores no matter if they're bad or not. They gave, like, what's a bad game that came out recently?
There's this movie they... Dead Cells? Or not movie, game.
Dead Cells is good.
Well, I heard their review... I heard, like, controversy about the review of Dead Cells.
Is that Star Wars Battlefront 2, the newest one?
Okay, not anymore. When it came out, I could agree with you. I enjoy it now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they gave it like an 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, really?
The Last of Us Part 2.
Oh,
is a good game. This is not the podcast for this. We will fight about this.
I'm so torn.
I have
about,
a lot to talk about.
Well,
that
I'm
game.
Torn about.
We talk about game. It on Sam's podcast.
We could.
Just to briefly touch on
spoilers,
it though.
Maybe
with it, like, I feel like it's a cinematic masterpiece. I love it, and the story. I hated it when I bought it. Now I kind of understand it more. But like, you run into things like that, like The Last of Us Part 2, that. You initially dislike strongly sometimes, or some segments will, but the more it ages, the more you kind of just find yourself coming back to it for some reason. Green Lantern is kind of like that. You're like, you know, this CGI car that they probably rushed. And then, dude, I mean, this was a cinematic, this is cinema right here. Like, you know, Martin Scorsese, you're wrong. Green Lantern, way better.
Well, that was about Marvel, not DC.
Well, Martin
Scorsese
is wrong for many reasons. His best... piece of media was when he played the blowfish in what's that? Shark Tale. Yeah.
Essentially.
That
but
was
it. That's how I feel about.
That's not the best thing that he's done. Well, I can't say it.
Yes, you can.
It involves Margot Robbie. You know what I'm talking
Suicide
about.
Suicide Squad.
Oh, no. Wolf on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Oh.
Yeah, blowfish is better.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, Jake masturbated to it more.
Damn, I'm not supposed to know about that.
Sorry.
I'll be right back.
I'm just thinking about blowfish.
He's got to go.
Time
blowfish.
For a brief intermission.
Word from our sponsor.
Can we talk about the just stylistic choices of this movie too? Because with all the CGI, we were talking about, you know, I'm kind of flaming the CGI a bit. Ryan Reynolds, it's basically his superpower is CGI appendages, like extensions of himself. So, like, you know, he'll have, like, a giant fist sometimes and all that. And, you know, talking about where we put the ring, too, like... Oh, you know where I'm going. So, like, he meets the alien on the beach, right? His first... Kyle's dying over here. His first instinct is to put the ring on his finger. And we're like...
Why the middle finger?
If
yeah,
you
like,
just,
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's other parts of his body that he could have had an instinct to put the ring on.
Yeah.
And, like, with the CGI appendages, you know, they could have done him really, really good in that sense. Like,
oh, yeah.
Let me ask you this.
We're talking about his...
Yeah, the green... ring. I mean, that's
the green ring. And honestly, like, it you're more protected because, like, yeah. Nobody can really, like, no one would really know that it's there. You know, it's secret. And you can just use
no
it.
No one can
whatever.
Take it off because then they're
and
gay.
To activate your power, you thrust.
Including women.
That's fucking yeah, awesome. Women. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like it would probably kill Blake Lively at the end. But, I mean, other than that, you know, yeah. Like, I mean, there's a lot of
characters on board anyway.
Yeah. She's hot.
Yo, he could have Green Lantern sex and he can make his penis as big as he wanted to.
I mean, that is true.
And he wouldn't.
Well, but let me ask you this. Well, is that even possible, though? Does the ring change?
I think you're honing
size.
On the wrong things mm-hmm. here.
Well, the thing
imagine having a machine gun attached to your dick. That shit.
But every time it. But you come every time
from,
it shoots.
This movie would have become R rated faster.
And then every time, like you know how he has to
oh,
do
no.
this when he like flies, he's just
he's just being this is penis
instead of the jets being like strapped in here.
Strapped the final in. Scene, it rips his dick off.
Oh god! I mean, this movie would have been NC-17 faster than you could say like Green Lantern.
But you know what?
Green Lantern.
I'd watch it.
I, honestly, that's the thing. It probably
yeah,
would have done the movie better in critic review scores. They probably would have rated it.
They could have. You could have called it experimental.
Yeah.
And then it would have shot up.
He hasn't touched the tip to the lantern. In Savio.
In brightest day. In blackest night.
The whole movie just would have had the sensor bar over it the whole time. Like, that's the thing. For shit. I feel like we could, you know, we're talking about putting this movie in Premiere Pro. Mm. I genuinely think, like, right here in this cut of the podcast, you should put a rendition of that scene from Premiere Pro with, like, a black sensor bar on the lantern.
Which scene?
The scene where he's, like, touching his finger to
okay.
his thing.
Oh, yeah.
His thinger.
You just gotta put a black sensor bar there. We'll make, like, a YouTube poop of this.
Yeah.
We'll make an alternate cut of the Green Lantern. This is the R-rated cut.
The movie or
there
the
is
whole
an
movie
extended
podcast.
There
the
is
whole
an extended
movie.
Cut of the film.
There
is it the unrated version?
I don't know if it's unrated, it might be. But
possibly.
Yeah.
I mean,
know where you can find it though.
But like that's the thing, this movie is such a questionable movie in terms of like its result and critical acclaim. I mean, I feel like you could have done a lot of experimental stuff with this. Like, why didn't they just put out an alternate cut of the Green Lantern?
You
the
know
the Green Sausage.
Well,
the Green Hornet.
Oh.
I don't understand why they completely disown this movie, and then in the Crisis on Infinite Earth, like TV event, they like took the time to show a scene of this movie.
I forgot
to show
about
that it was canon, but on a completely different Earth.
Well,
I'm not a
yeah,
nerd,
it,
so
it,
I don't know about
it's the multiverse.
Stuff.
Yeah,
everything
in the multiverse,
canon.
Everything is canon.
But if they're not going to do anything with it.
That's not the point. The point is just to be like, oh, look.
Well, I just
happened.
Love that this movie is a punching bag for Deadpool in every single movie it's been in, pretty much. I mean, you literally have that one scene. I think it's in Deadpool 1.
It's the post-credit scene.
Yeah.
In Deadpool 2.
In Deadpool 2,
he's
the post-credit
got
the,
he's
scene.
Got, he's got Blade's, he's got Cable's little watch thing, and he
yeah.
goes back, and it's Ryan Reynolds looking at the script like, okay. And then we see, like, blood splatter on the script. And he just falls over.
He shoots himself.
Yeah.
Oh, but in the first one, too. Yeah, he's at the beginning.
Don't make the suit green or animated.
Yeah,
yeah,
in the beginning, there's, like, the car crash. And, like, he's in a wallet of, like, playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
And out comes Green Lantern. Which, is Deadpool, is he canon now in the MCU?
Yeah.
Which means that Green Lantern is canon in the MCU.
Well,
maybe
it's unclear if he's canon in the MCU yet. There hasn't been any direct...
Deadpool?
Yeah, there isn't any direct connection as
okay.
of yet.
The thing
okay.
is, though, in theory, it is because of Sam... Okay, spoilers if you haven't seen Spider-Man No Way Home, but I feel like it's pointless.
Well, it's the end of March. People have seen...
Okay, so Sam Raimi's Spider-Man and, you know, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are in the movie, obviously.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler alert. And, in you know, Tom Holland's Spider-Man gets impaled on a pole and dies at the end of it. But that aside, like, the fact that Sam Raimi's properties were attached to this... I don't see why X-Men and Fox aren't attached to this, in theory, just by association.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, like, they certainly can be. And
yeah.
when Doctor Strange 2 comes out,
he's
there's a lot of talks about whether or not, yeah, like, different Fox properties are going to be in it, right? And if they are, then obviously, like, you know, that'll work. And it's theoretically possible. It's just a matter of, like, do they decide to do it? Can they bring back any of the actors? You know,
well, here's the thing. Why wouldn't they?
I mean, fair enough. But it's kind of weird in a sense because the last Fox movie came out in, like, 2019 for X-Men.
Yeah, that was...
And so that's going to be kind of weird.
Apocalypse Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix, but...
Oh,
Yeah,
it Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Because it was the guy who... Or not the guy. The girl who plays... what's her face in Game of Thrones? The red hair. What's her name?
Is she the one who has...
She's from The Witcher.
No.
Is it the incest lady?
No.
Sorry, that describes every character.
No, it's Ned's daughter.
Ned doesn't have a daughter. He's in high school.
Ned Stark's daughter.
Ned Stark's
10 bucks.
Sister?
No, daughter.
Daughter.
The red hair. And then there's the one who kills the Night King.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Not
she's,
her.
She's
the red hair.
What's her character's name? Storm? I think it's Storm.
In the
X-Men.
Oh, in X-Men, no, she is Jean.
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey, okay.
Yeah. Storm is cool.
I don't know why my first instinct was to say her character's name is Jennifer.
Yeah. Back in like medieval fantasy in Game of Thrones, her name is Jennifer.
Yeah.
Yennefer.
Boom. Vengeberg. Speaking of CGI, the one thing I hate most about this movie is the way his mask looks.
Yeah.
And not even like how it looks, the fact that it goes to his nose.
Yeah, it's
irritates
it's a weird
the
man.
Well, it's literally like a Clark Kent Superman situation again. I mean, he leaves the party, comes back with a green mask on, like, who is that guy?
He's
got glasses. You know, it's like literally the opposite.
To be fair, she does recognize him as soon as she's like within 4 feet of him. She's like, wait.
But why not just have the mask go like here?
Yeah, it's
why
a weird,
put it on his
it's
nose?
A weird aesthetic choice.
Why
it
not
really
a face
is.
Mask? Like, they could have been so proactive and relevant for the future with COVID. He could have just
that
been wearing
true.
A surgical mask the entire time.
And you know, if you didn't wear a surgical mask before COVID-19, you're an asshole.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And you want to kill Grandma.
I do think, though, they could have done, like, they could have taken Prowler's mask from Into the Spider-Verse and made it green. I think that would have been cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about some actual, like, meaning in this movie, because we have not hit that at all.
Real quick, can I open it with a quote?
Yeah, go for it. That Doctor Who quote?
Yes. What? So, to quote the great third Doctor from Doctor Who... Courage isn't just a matter of not being frightened. It is being afraid and doing what you have to do anyway.
I love
which
how you
Googled
that. That's the third.
Well, I mean, I remember the quote. I just had to...
Which, do you know what Doctor that is?
Yeah, the third one.
So, yeah,
this
third.
Comes from Doctor Who, 10 most memorable quotes from the third Doctor. Google, just so you know.
Fuck you, I had it in my head. I was just making sure that I got it right.
But it is true. It's like... I can't remember who said it now. I just blanked on that. For some reason, I want to say Winston Churchill, but I don't think that's correct at all.
Winston
but
Churchill.
It was like, courage is not the absence of fear, essentially. Which is kind of...
Churchill.
It may have been, but I can't remember the second part of that quote. But the gist was that, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. It's working in spite of it. Because you can't learn to be less afraid of something. That's impossible. Like, it was a... Charles Darwin, actually, was in front of... he was at, like, a reptile exhibit, and there was a snake, and he was tapping on the glass, and, you know, there's barrier between him and the snake, and no matter what, when the snake jumped at him, his body would recoil, no matter how much he knew that snake could not hurt him. And that's because fear is biologically... driven into your system.
It's a protection mechanism.
Well,
it is,
and it's good that you have that. It's good that you are able to detect threats and you react almost without thinking about it. But even when you do try to rationalize it, you still are afraid of that thing. You know, you're afraid of of the dark, of monsters and whatnot. But it's not
planet killing. You know, gas clouds.
Yeah, and who wouldn't be? You know. Huh. Speaking of which, Rise of the Silver
Surfer. Rise of the
Silver
Surfer.
Yeah.
I was about to say Galactus, right?
Yeah.
Is it Galactus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But again, it's like what makes someone brave is acting in spite of that fear. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, kind of what this movie touches on for sure. But I just think that's a good message to tell people, is that yes, you are going to be afraid. You're always going to be afraid. So the fact that you still feel fear about something doesn't mean you're any less of a person. You know, it's perfectly natural. But you know what makes you a noble person, what makes you the hero, is being able to still do something brave even though you're afraid. And we, like you said, they don't really get into how that process happens in this film, not so much, but I think the easiest way to do that is, you know, you're afraid because you fear something happening to you or to somebody that you care about, right? But the question is, well, why be brave? And I think the reason to be brave is to protect the thing or the person that you care about, right? Whatever that may be. And that's what instills braveness, right? You know, you have soldiers or something, like they go to fight a war. It's like they're not like, you know, and there are some people that are just, you know, sociopaths, but you know, soldiers don't go to war because they're you know, they want to kill people or you know, they can't go into a war being deathly afraid of what it is. No, they're going and they're being brave because they're fighting to protect something that they truly believe in that's worth protecting, whether it's the country, ideology, or their own family, right?
And, well, and this is why I think fear doesn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically in this movie or any tale where will or courage is the theme, is because fear doesn't have anything to fight for. At least as it's manifested in this film specifically, because
there's no purpose.
Right. Dormammu, yeah. All he is doing is
bargaining,
right? All he is doing is consuming. But to what end? To what purpose?
Yeah.
Not really anything to rule the entire universe. What does that get you? It means nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas Hal is fighting for Blake Lively and his nephew.
That we never see again.
And that's interesting because fear does biologically have a purpose, and that's to keep you alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the overindulgence of that draws out the worst in you, the cowardice in you, or if you use fear, you know, again, there is a certain element of when you're in a position of authority, you have to use fear in some respects to keep people in line. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, hey, you know, give us your taxes because these guys are bad out there and we want to protect you.
Yeah.
That's an element of fear that you're using. That's not necessarily a bad thing, in principle at least, right? But that's interesting. In Green Lantern lore, there's a thing called a White Lantern. And the White Lantern becomes so by collecting all of the lantern rings and being able to adopt them and use them, right? And that's willpower, fear, hope, love, passion, greed, and anger, I believe, are the seven, right? And once you're able to do that, once you're able to manifest yourself as a whole individual and control all of those aspects of you, then you become the White Lantern, which is the lantern of life. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty accurate. That you're becoming the fully integrated person, and therefore you become a harbinger of life.
And the white, like, color range too, something metaphorical with that. White is made up of every
the mixture.
Color.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think I just forgot what I was gonna say. I was like ready to say it and then I forgot it.
I'm sorry.
It has to do with fuck, I forgot.
After you went shit.
Oh, yes. Okay. Ugh, it's right there. Fuck.
We were talking about how light, white is the color of every collected color of light.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you know how, like, people will say, like it's...
Don't you think it's kind of funny when Jake starts talking, like, when you're going through that? And then, wouldn't it be really funny if I was trying to do that when he doesn't remember what he was going to say?
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
All
right. Can I change the topic completely real quick?
You can.
Yeah. We're just in this microphone, so it's fine.
Yeah. We're in your left ear.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Are you saying something?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's like when people in you know, stories, they lose the one thing they're trying to protect, and they're like, now I have nothing to live for, so I can give it my all. Mm-hmm. And then they fight and they win.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. Don't give me that bullshit line.
Yeah, $10.
Because I feel like if you don't have anything to fight for, you are fighting purely to win without any purpose.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens with Spider-Man and No Way Home.
Right.
Yeah. Is that he loses Aunt May and it becomes just a quest for vengeance. Right.
It does. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
And he gets his shit rocked, unlike Tobey Maguire, who actually, if you watch that fight, the final battle, Tobey is the least damaged out of all of them. Like, he is the strongest Spider-Man, mm-hmm. easy. So, sorry, go ahead.
Check out Photo Boy Podcast.
Hey, watch this.
Coming out. Mm-hmm. And so when they do that, you don't have anything to fight for. But when you do have something to fight for, that is when you become stronger. Because that is when you give it your all. Because that is when you can lose it. Because when you do lose it, what's the point?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where we see this, the Lanterns fail, potentially, is because they are fighting for this pure, like, altruism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why Abel Sur, whatever his name is, dies. I think that's why Sinestro potentially falls prey to the Yellow Lantern. I think that's why some of the Green Lantern's art is strong, is because they're not fighting for what they have. They're fighting for the good of the universe.
The sake of fighting.
Which right. It's not deep enough. That's not deep enough to get you to act, right? That's why, like, people aren't motivated by the idea of utopia. One, because utopia can't exist, and anybody who's telling you that is trying to sell you something or take your money.
Something's always going to be able to improve. And that's the problem with, like, a utopia. Nothing will ever be at a stopping point that it's perfect. You're always going to be in a continuous state of just...
Well, not only that, but, like, human nature itself won't allow for utopia.
Oh, no, definitely not. There's always going to be crime.
Right.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. But it's like... you can't just fight for something as broad as something like that. Like, oh, you know, I'm motivated because I want to bring about utopia. No, that's not the reason. And if you believe that is the reason that you're acting so selflessly, if you really believe that's the reason... Well, look, you're wrong. You have to examine yourself a little bit deeper. There's something else that's there. Because you can't motivate yourself on a purely altruistic level like the Lanterns were doing. You can't. Because that's not motivation. It's a nice idea, but it's not something that gets you up in the morning, right? You don't get up in the morning every day because you're like, man, I want to make the world a better place. No, you get up in the morning every day because you have a goal. You're a goal-oriented creature. And you say, all right, I'm getting up today, and I need to do this, and this is what I'm doing today. And in fact, you'll find the days where you just want to lie in bed are the days where you can't identify your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because of fear.
Yeah.
Potentially.
And I think, and this goes back to Star Wars and Transformers.
We pulled all of this out of a 2008-ish movie with bad CGI.
2011, I think.
Mm-hmm. Was it that?
It was not that late.
It was 2011.
No.
All right, while you're looking that up,
it's 2011.
They say in this film that fear is stronger.
2000? What the
fuck?
Yeah,
I know.
It was that recent.
How is it made that late? That's...
I thought it was like a 2000.
That's 1 year before the Avengers came out.
Yeah.
Before...
To make.
Because he makes good movies.
Well, he was going to do Star Trek, too.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
I mean, I can kind of see that.
He would have made a killer Star Trek movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we would have seen, like, people getting sucked out of airlocks, like, just exploding heads and aliens. You know, it would have been, like, Quentin Tarantino. You probably would have seen Captain Kirk beat somebody to a pulp. I mean, that would have been...
We're going to start with the Gwenta...
Oh, are we going?
Hold on.
Galactic War is never the answer. I put on my tights cause I am a dancer. I'm dancing all night. I have the answer to your question. I am getting an erection. I got a cock ring and it's kinda green. That's the color of my skin. You know what I mean. Hey, I got an infection. I would say erection, but I already said it. This rap sucks. Galactic War is never the answer. It's never, ever, ever the answer.
All right.
Well, all right.
Galactic War, you tried to romance. All right.
All right.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Hey, check that out. We're going to put that link in the description, too.
subscribe to PewDiePie.
Yeah. Subscribe to hashtag T-Series sucks. India, fuck you. Stout and sauerkraut.
Stout and sauerkraut. Guys.
Stout and sauerkraut.
Anyway, and Jazz is like, he's like, he's a Pontiac Sunfire, whatever it's called. He's like, he stands at maybe like 10 feet mm-hmm. versus Megatron's like 20.
I'm yeah. still disappointed Tiny. That they killed Jazz in the first movie. He could have had so much of a chance for like more character development in future movies, but
yeah.
Megatron. I agree.
But I do think that's interesting though too, is that the bad guys are always bigger. They're always a great threat. They're always seemingly more powerful than you, and yet the good guys, well, they still win. And I think that's pretty interesting. It's like, well, because bad guys, I think those who are purely evil, they the reason that they're able to get like, you know, the reason that they're able to control people is because they are able to use that fear, but it's fear of looking, they're it's fear of looking big, let's say.
Yeah.
Looking powerful.
It's intimidating.
Yeah, it's yeah. like it's like Russia or China.
Yeah.
Like they prop themselves up as first world superpowers, but they're not. Like their actual economies are like on the brink of absolute collapse at all points.
Just drop a nuke. Easy peasy. Game
Jake
over.
Is the future of foreign policy.
Yeah, Jake is the
future. Hey,
easy peasy.
2024.
Oh, yeah? See, I can't run until 2035.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle.
Holy shit.
You're going down.
Yeah, I would love to debate you.
10 plus years.
I would go, what's the episode of Community that Annie and Jeff
mm-hmm.
are, like, competing? Annie's got the much better platform, but Jeff is like,
"Oh yeah,
America,
yeah."
Don't look up. Check that out.
But
this also happens. We're good. This also happens in. We got like 5 minutes on an hour.
Okay.
This also happens in Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
specifically Episode 6, because Luke asks Yoda, I believe it's Episode 6. Luke asks Yoda, he's like, "Master Yoda, is the dark side stronger?" And Yoda's like, no, no, no. Because he's like thinking. He's like, because it seems like it is.
Yeah.
And he says, quicker, more seductive the dark side is. So again, it's that presentation of fear.
Yeah.
That it is so overwhelming. It's like if you have a list of like 20 things to do and you have like 2 hours to do it.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot just because it just... In presentation, like, oh shit, there's
yeah, that's a lot.
It's essentially big and loud, like many different things in like different situations, but it has no purpose behind it, and that's why ultimately, like, it may garner more support, but ultimately, it will fail.
Right, just because it's the foundation of it is so weak, the structure is so weak.
Exactly, it's the paper tiger.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or the paper lion.
Or oh, check it out, documentary.
In the description. Well, what?
No, yeah, the behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, check that out.
Only that.
Yeah, all right. Make sure you pay attention to the about 10 minutes of silent footage.
So real quick, some little factoids.
And these are last things that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Do you guys know when this film started production?
2005.
No.
2010?
No.
2000?
No.
What?
1997.
You're kidding.
Wow.
Is when it first went into the early stages of development. And for a few years, it was just kind of put on the back burner. But originally, Kevin Smith was approached to write this film, and he turned it down. And then they went to Quentin Tarantino to write and direct it.
Thank God.
And he said no, because I'm Quentin Tarantino. And
can we just imagine like what Quentin Tarantino's Green Lantern would have looked
oh
like?
Oh my god, we would have had the ring.
It would have been
He puts it on, he so was like, "Stand down, motherfucker."
Yeah.
It would have been so bloody.
Dude, Sam Jackson.
I'm Green Lantern, motherfucker.
But
Samuel L. Jackson.
And as Green Lantern.
And guess who originally was supposed to play Hal Jordan?
Tom Cruise?
No.
Oh.
Jack Black.
Bro, what?
Yeah.
What?
Dude,
there's no way.
Yes.
Movie,
Jake's
yes.
twin
what
almost played the Green Lantern.
Could you imagine
we could
a Green
yeah!
Lantern movie starring Jack Black, The Power of Rock, directed by Quentin Tarantino.
I'm taking on, hey, I'm taking on the parallax and he's going to
That would have been
God, that would have been.
That would have been.
Oh, so that's throwing in your man.
But
think School of Rock and Nacho Libre's Awkward Child that they abandoned in DC Studios.
Damn. Think about the NeverEnding Story 3's main bully and antagonist.
I haven't even seen the third
make
one.
Make him Green Lantern. It's horrible.
Yeah, I've only seen the first
one. The R-rated cut would have scarred millions for years.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
But yeah, they didn't find a writer until 2007.
Wow.
And
yeah. So they shot it in 2007.
Martin Campbell.
Guess you didn't have a career anymore.
Mm. Well, that was right after his brother wrote The Hero with a Thousand Faces.
Yeah. Nope. $10.
Let's see what his career thing. Okay, so the director of Green Lantern, he pretty much didn't really have a career after that. Dang.
Yeah.
So his notable things he's worked on include, or did he work on anything important? He worked on GoldenEye.
The Protégé, what?
He did GoldenEye.
The Foreigner.
Edge of Darkness. He did stuff with Casino Royale. Okay, that was. But this is all before Green Lantern. After Green Lantern, he only has 3 credits to his name for a film. And those are all in 2017, 2021, and 2022.
The Sex Thief? What is that?
That's me.
That's not a good thing.
No, it's okay.
We
hashtag
stop.
No, it's also crazy. Yeah. This movie came out after the 2008 Hulk movie, and this, in a lot of ways, is that movie.
It's a parallel.
It's Iron Man.
No, the Ang Lee Hulk movie is more like this one than the Edward Norton one.
Mm. Well, both are green, and both are forgotten about.
That's true.
Hey, I don't forget about Edward Norton's Hulk.
I actually like that one a lot. The music in there is really good.
I wonder if
good.
He's going to appear in Multiverse of Madness.
I probably hope so. What has Edward Norton done recently?
He's done a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. We're getting off track. We'll talk about that after. It's rap time, guys. Wait, rating. We need to rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 10.
First, subscribe, like, comment.
You guys liked this episode. I know you did. Don't fuck around.
Look, we have a guest.
We have a guest.
You have to watch it.
He better share it.
I'll share it to my one follower on Twitter.
No, Brady.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, Brady.
He shared it.
Post this episode on your YouTube channel. This episode's not going to be on the normal channel. It's going to
be on
Brady's.
It's going to be on
Clip
Play
TV. TikTok and Instagram. Give me a clip of this.
Yes.
Give me a clip where we're talking about the Green Lantern ring.
I was going to say, I'll give the clip where you're talking about him with a c*** ring. Yeah. And I'll be like, post that to your followers.
Full disclaimer,
buddy.
I asked before.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, what's the rating of this? Is this G or is this R?
Yeah, this is
like,
definitely going to be
it's
R.
Grr.
Okay, we're going to go for it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Edward Norton wasn't a movie that I've been wanting us to cover on the podcast for a while.
What is it?
Not Fight Club.
Oh, no.
Sorry, guys,
Fight Club is one
party.
Of them.
No, it's Being John Malkovich.
No.
Have you already done Sausage Party on this?
No.
That movie, you're going to need to, like, freaking age gate it. That episode.
Sausage Gate?
Yeah. It's all about, like, the lie of religion.
We absolutely
Sausage
need
Party?
To do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's the death of God.
Because they kill God at the towards the end.
Oh, one more thing that I want to say. There's a litany in Dune, which is, like, it's the Fremen's, like, you know, well, like a poem, kind of. Says, I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. I'll give this movie 5.5 out of 10 because of what it could be.
Yeah.
My take on it, like, Green Lantern is one of those movies that you enjoy more when you were a kid. And it's one of those things when I watched it, and like, at the end of it, yes, I laughed at it for 2 hours straight. But it was honestly a decent experience because of that. It's a very easily, like, you can tell it was made with certain intentions, and even though it didn't fulfill those intentions, I think it served a purpose still. And I do not think this is the worst superhero movie of all time.
No.
I agree with that. You ever seen Spawn?
No.
I need to watch it.
I think
No, you don't.
No, Catwoman or Daredevil is up there for
Oh, Daredevil with...
No, Daredevil is not up there.
Punisher it is up there. Warzone is...
I haven't seen that. Oh, Elektra with...
Now that one will let
you have. What was her name?
Elektra.
No, the actress.
Blake Lively.
No. Okay, it doesn't matter. Anyways, all right, wrap time. Wait, yeah. No, wait.
I would give rating. It... In terms of a rating, it's... What are you rated out of? 10 usually?
Yeah, 5 is average movie, never would think about it again.
Yeah.
1 is honestly, the worst shit I've ever seen.
It's so bad it's memorable, in a sense. And, like, it's not the worst movie. It's easy to pick apart. I'm going to have to give it a 6.5.
Okay.
I'd give it 5 CGI suits out of 10. And for the one that was going to star Jack Black and be directed by Quentin Tarantino, I give it 11 greens out of 10.
I understand that. Right.
Okay. I'd give it a 4.5.
I'll give it a 5.5 green race cars out of 10.
Because I will never think about this movie again after this, and I'm fine with it.
Why did they specifically approach Tarantino to make?
Because he makes good movies.
Well, he was going to do Star Trek, too.
Was he?
Yeah,
he was. I mean, I can kind of see that.
He would have made a killer Star Trek movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we would have seen, like, people getting sucked out of airlocks, like, just exploding heads and aliens. You know, it would have been, like, Quentin Tarantino. You probably would have seen Captain Kirk beat somebody to a pulp. I mean, that would have been.
We're gonna start with the Gwenta.
Oh, are we going?
Hold on.
Galactic War is never the answer. I put on my tights cause I am a dancer. I'm dancing all night. I have the answer to your question. I am getting an erection. I got a cock ring and it's kinda green. That's the color of my skin. You know what I mean. Hey, I got an infection. I would say erection, but I already said it. This rap sucks. Galactic War is never the answer. It's Galactic never, ever, ever the answer.
All right.
Well, all right.
Galactic right. War, you tried to romance her. All right.
All right.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Hey, check that out. We're going to put that link in the description, too.
subscribe to PewDiePie.
Yeah. Subscribe to hashtag T-Series sucks. India, fuck you. Stout and sauerkraut.
Stout and sauerkraut. Guys.
Stout and sauerkraut.
Stout and sauerkraut.
I don't endorse his comments because I actually work Indian weddings, so.
Oh.